T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the best, the final, the money hour of the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate, Rob Alonzo, and you coming up in just a few minutes. It's Fanboy Friday, where we talk music and movies and wrestling and video games. But right now, what'd I do?
It's not you. I'm trying to figure out what Kevin's doing. He's got both microphones there. Okay. I gotta know which one he's using.
The one over here is off, so we're not going to go with that one.
I don't think that one was on either, actually.
It wasn't.
He's on this one.
Yeah, someone turned it on. It wasn't me. All right, we're good now.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, buddy. Hot start, huh?
We're just rolling in.
He thought he was at a press conference or something. Yeah. He got all the mics over
Kevin's
there.
Got two mics. He's reaching for a third. My man wants airtime. He's like, I'm coming at you in stereo today.
I got to make sure they can hear me. You know, I mean, one mic sometimes doesn't cut it.
Kevin Thomas, the only man with an ego bigger than mine in this building. Well done, buddy. Oh. Well done. High School Football, the Move of the Chains podcast has got you covered. Every single day. You know one thing, I want to talk about this before we get into some of the games from last week and next week. If you're not following the Move of the Chains podcast at facebook.com/movingchains, no G in that, Moving Chains, Twitter and Instagram, same story, at Moving Chains, and the podcast can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever your podcasts are found. You guys are doing a heck of a lot more than just coming on and talking about games. You guys are covering games live. You guys are doing interviews with coaches and players and whatnot. I mean, you guys have really put together a really comprehensive prep football program that doesn't just cover. You guys actually cover high school football across the entire state of South Carolina. We talk upstate ball when you're on the show, right. But you really do it all.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Rob, man. We're trying hard. You know, it was one thing that we saw there was kind of a need for it, where there's not really a whole lot of statewide coverage from one outlet. We thought we'd kind of fill that void. We're going forward, and we're doing our teams of the week, our games of the week. Like you mentioned, the interviews with coaches and players coming up. We're doing a preview show, a recap show. We're at games on Friday night. We went to two games this week because we had one on Monday. I ran out and the game tonight as well. So we're all over the place, man.
Love it. Love to hear it. Speaking of all over the place, you guys were out and about on week four, a handful of games to look back at. Here's a couple of them. We'll start Gaffney 42, Dorman 35. The Indians down 14-0 early, but then just a barn burner on the back half.
Yeah, great ball game. You know, Dorman came out, got a pick six, had another interception, kind of drove down. Gaffney was on the verge of going down 21-0, had a big goal line stand there, was able to come back from that, score some long touchdown passes from the Loftus kid, had a punt block for a touchdown that really changed the game by Landon Bullock there for them. But then after that, they were just able to kind of get in a shootout with Dorman, and the Indians had a little bit more firepower at the end.
Dude, is it just me? And it was this way down in Florida. You know, I've gotten to come to a handful of games the last 2 years in the upstate. It always seems that the teams that are really good, you can see the – and I know it sounds so cliche, but you can see the emphasis on special teams. It's not always there with a lot of high school programs are focused on offense, defense, and special teams. It's just like, all right, send the soccer player out there to kick a field goal every now and then. It seems like more often than not, when there's a game like this that's super hotly contested, there's always someone that knows block punt, block field goal, block something, kickoff return. Special teams are making a difference even at high school levels.
Yeah, we've seen so many games this year and, you know, over the past few years where it's a close ball game and then the team who maybe is not quite as, not say well coached, but not quite as good of a team, they may have a bad snap on opponent. See that a lot. So just a lot of game changing plays that can happen on special teams that the good teams make sure that they go in their favor.
T.O. Hanna 43, Malden 22. Malden deferred the touchdown came early and it was
Malden won the toss, deferred, and that was all she wrote pretty much. T.O. Hanna didn't have to punt all game. Ooh. Malden stopped once on a fourth down and they had a drive into the end of the half. Besides that, Yellow Jackets did what they wanted, running up and down the field. They're just getting better and better with that triple option offense. They're becoming more comfortable with each other and they're gonna be a tough team to get out in the playoffs.
Any night where your punter doesn't have to do his laundry is a good night.
Yes.
Is a good night. 14 different players had at least one carry.
Yeah, and that's nuts.
Is that a 100-man roster, or were they just like, screw it, let's just give everybody a shot?
I'm telling you, man, it is. I think they're holding some guys back for the playoffs. You know, like, you know, their main guys only get maybe 4 or 5 carries a game, whatnot. So they're kind of saving them a little bit.
But and when you got Cameron Johnson going 103 touchdowns, it's not like
on
you got
5 carries. Yeah. Too. Yeah. So it's just crazy. Like, you see them, you know, if it's a big 3rd and 2, that they call in the special guys that, you know, maybe you're more focused on defense. Like, hey, come in here, you know, call 3 and get a run in here. But it's wild to see how many guys they can shuffle in and out of that offense.
Burns has had a season. I don't want to be the bad guy and label it disappointing, but I think based on what I heard about Burns coming into the season, I think that they would call it that. No disappointment in a 0 shutout of Riverside.
I mean, you know, this is a game I thought was going to be close. I've been high on Riverside.
It wasn't,
all year.
Kevin.
Oh,
it
I
was
know.
Not.
I know.
It was not.
Got moved to Saturday. I actually listened to part of this one. You know, Riverside had a couple drives early, including the first drive. They got down inside the 5-yard line, threw a pick. Just couldn't convert, and then Burns just started rolling, man. You know, the Rodgers kid had 600-plus yards passing. The Cook kid had 300-plus yards receiving. I mean, the Burns offense, it's been the same story all year. They're unstoppable. But this week, the defense kind of showed up, too.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's regardless of the level, it's hard to get a shutout, right? Like, Shutouts don't come frequently. That's why we talk about them when they happen. Even if you're looking like 4A v 2A squad, shutouts are still tough to get. Mm-hmm. Somebody finds a kicker that can knock down a long field goal. But to get a shutout and put a 70-burger on the board is big time.
Yeah, and that's a Riverside team that's been in the top 10 for most of the year in 5A. So interesting to see how that game turned out for sure.
We're going to talk about the Burns game this weekend here in just a minute. But from what you saw out of that game, is this a turning point for Burns? Like, is this hey, they clicked? I mean, what Clemson's hoping to do this weekend, just find it?
Yeah, you know.
Kevin wore orange into my studio, by the way. That's why.
Riverside, they've had a couple guys out on the offensive line that really hurt them. I think in the past week they lost 2 or 3 linemen that really hurt them, kind of, you know, giving up some sacks and whatnot. I think the defense is improving, which is good to see. Yeah, as a younger group, they'll come along. I don't think they're going to be a state championship contender by any means. But they're a team that will make the playoffs, and they could win a game or two in there.
Sure. Let's jump to this week. We got week 5 coming up here. Start with Chapman at Clinton. You guys did an interview with Clinton's defensive coordinator, Ethan Campbell, this week. Insight.
This may be the biggest game in the statewide this week. I think it's a 3-5 matchup in 3A. Clinton's offense, I mean, both these teams can score. Both teams are averaging over 40 a game. The difference, I think, is going to be Clinton's defense. They're holding teams to about 15 points per game. And Chapman, as we know, thought over the field with Settle and Black and whatnot. One interesting thing that I heard from the coordinator, Ethan Campbell, in our interview, said that my main philosophy is don't let their best player beat you.
Yeah.
So you think they're going to, you know, double Black or bracket him or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, DJ Black.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good player.
Pretty good. Yeah, so, when Deebo Samuel is sending you a jersey because of your play, I did all right.
That was an awesome moment there. I guess I saw the picture or not where he signed it and gave it to DJ. Really cool thing there for breaking his single-game receiving record. But I think Clinton has a little bit better defense. That's why I'm going to lean their direction, especially at home on senior night. I think the Red Devils are ready to tell everybody in 3A they're for real.
This was an interesting because, and you know, ordinarily when you send over the show notes and I'm looking through them before we get ready to go and pull them up for the interview, in a lot of games there's a name. Like, this is a kid or this is the maybe one or two kids. You sent over the preview for this game and it's like half the roster you sent over.
Well, you know, there are very multiple offense and defense, really. On offense, they kind of do like almost like a spread option type deal. So a lot of guys touch the ball. They throw it some, but they run it a good bit. So there's the Copeland kid. There's, you know, multiple Copeland kids, actually. The Gary kid, the Wilson kid. They've got a ton of guys who make plays for them. So it's hard to circle out, you know, really one or two for that Red Devils team.
One more on this, and then we'll start looking at some other games. When we talk about DJ Black, you know, it happens occasionally, but it's rare when you've got such a talent in a spot that you want to go on the air and say, look, even if you're not a fan of this team or the two teams playing, you should go just watch this kid play because he's going to be somebody. DJ Black feels to me that the last guy I played like that, I played with DJ Hall, who went to Alabama, and he was a guy that when we'd go play games in Pensacola at stadiums that ordinarily had 200 people in it, when DJ Hall would show up, they'd put 1,000, 1,500 into the stadium because they knew this kid was going to be somebody. Ends up going to Alabama and for a number of years was Alabama's number one all-time wide receiver. DJ Black's that dude.
Yeah, and what's crazy, you know, I think this is a problem we see in South Carolina as a whole, is that he's not getting a ton of offers. I think he's got an offer from maybe Army and Navy, and that's about it. But
yeah,
you know, if you saw the picture of him with Deebo, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's taller than Deebo, you know, pretty thick for a high school kid.
I wonder
kid.
If maybe that's why.
you know, who knows? I don't know what to think, honestly. I mean, because he's a big-time playmaker. You see the stats every week. I think last week he had had 158, three TDs. The other week before, had 250-plus receiving. I mean, he makes plays and has been for two or three years now on the varsity level. So just an interesting kind of
thing. Here's one thing that intrigues me. One of the conversations I've had with folks since I got here is the fact that South Carolina has watched a lot of talent go to other states as far as college recruiting. You know, I think, was it like Georgia's number one wide receiver on the roster right now is out of South Carolina. And there's a couple of other teams that there's some really good talent that's not being kept in state. So when I see that and I see this kid, I'm looking at him and going, I wonder if he's going to go, you know, if he gets let's say he decides to go academy route and goes to Navy, and all of a sudden he's so good they open up their offense to throw this kid the ball. Who's going to say a South Carolina Clemson is not going to look in a year or two and go, we screwed up on this one?
Yeah,
and this kid's got that game.
What's been changing, you know, obviously with Clemson's perspective, they become almost such a national brand. They can go outside of the state to recruit. But South Carolina with Muschamp, you know, you saw that they didn't really hit the state super hard, which is odd. So maybe that's something that's going to change now with Beamer. You would hope so. We've got a lot of talent here in state that can make both these programs better, really.
All right. Hillcrest at Woodmont. Hillcrest was off last week. Over 300 rushing yards combined last time that they played a game. And again, another team that you sent over a list of guys that could be breakout. And it's always interesting when you give a high school coach an extra week to put eyes on film and put a game together. Those games can get kind of fun.
Yeah, especially when their opponent, Woodmont, this will be their second game this week. They actually played Monday night due to the rainout. So
yeah, knocked off J.L. Mann in that.
They're on a short game there for Woodmont. They did call six turnovers in that game, which that's something you can't really rely on against Hillcrest. I think the Rams and Hillcrest are a little bit better team. They've got a very good rushing offense. Like I mentioned, they ran for 300-plus against Malden. But their quarterback, Bennett Judy, is a stud as well. He throws all over the field. He's getting some looks from some big schools. And, you know, kids like Avery McFadden and Jeremy Jackson can really play on the outside. I think the Rams are a little bit too much, even though they're on the road. I like Coldren to have a big game for those guys.
All right. Dorman is at Burns. We have a texter that wrote in and said, glad you guys are bragging on Burns, but Dorman is about to put a 50 spot on him tonight. Dorman, 42-35 lofts to Gaffney, two touchdowns through the air. Another one on the ground or two on the ground. You know, Burns, again, coming off a 70-0 win over Riverside last week. Found a little momentum. Is it enough?
I mean, first off, you know, everybody's scoring points on Burns, so that's not really a brag there in the text. But, but you know, Dorman, they found something lately. They've got kind of two quarterbacks they're playing. The Tally kid's more of a passer. The Bomar kid's a heck of a rusher. He's a freshman. You've got to see this kid, Robbie. He's a really good player. And then, the running back Foster ran for 190 last week, had 200-plus a couple weeks ago. And on top of that, they've been kind of saving Will Black, the running back. He's been a little bit injured. He's been kind of shaking up. He should be good to go for this week. Burns' best chance to turn this into a track meet, honestly. Like, hope the scores get into the 50s. That's Burns' best shot. I think Dorman's got a little bit more talent on the defensive side, even though they gave up a bunch to Gaffney last week. A couple of those were kind of busted plays and whatnot. I think Dorman's a little bit better right now. But in this rivalry, man, you can never count either team out.
This is, for Burns anyway, definition of a must-win game?
Yeah, if they want to have any chance to win the region, they have to win this game. They're pretty much already locked into the playoffs, but to have any shot at a three-way tie for the region where they may come out on top, they've got to beat Dorman tonight.
Big one. Big one for the Rebels. And, of course, you'll be able to hear that game right here on ESPN Upstate. Any other games that you've got circled in red as interest tonight?
A couple of decent ones. Greer at Greenwood. Greer's trending in the right direction. I don't think they're quite as good as Greenwood is right now, but Greenwood on a short week as well. But at home, that should be too much for Greer. And the Daniel at Wren, interesting 3A matchup there. Daniel, defending state champions. Honestly, think, Rob, they're kind of bored. Like, they just haven't played anybody up to their caliber this year, so they haven't shown that explosiveness. Interesting to see if Wren can kind of test them and make Daniel kind of wake up a little bit tonight.
Be interesting. Kevin Thomas is one of the hosts of the Moving the Chains podcast. You can find them on Facebook at facebook.com/movingchains. No G in that. Same on Twitter and Instagram at Moving Chains. And their podcast can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever podcasts are found. It is so much more than just a score report. It is in-depth analysis of high school football across the state. Interviews. So you guys got anybody lined up coming up?
Yeah, we got the Powdersville head coach coming next week. They're on to a historic undefeated start so far. So that'll be a good interview as well.
Love to see it. Kevin, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you coming by.
Thanks, Rob.
That is Kevin Thomas, host of the Moving the Chains podcast. We're back with Fanboy Friday after this on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
T
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
When you hear the lightsabers clash, it means it is time for Fanboy Friday, where Lonzo take all the things non-sports related, and we don't stick to sports for a segment as we talk pop culture, movies, music, TV, wrestling, whatever we want to talk about. And I'm going to start with this. I'm going to start, Lonzo, with a plea to America. Dear America, I want you to be great. I do. I love you, America. I always have. I'm wearing red, white, and blue as we speak. I love you, America. We have got to stop making dumb people famous, okay? I'm begging you. I'm begging you to go back. Go back to making smart people famous. Go back to making entertaining. Stop making dumb people famous. Lonzo, do you know who Salt Bae is?
No, I do not. Do I win?
Ladies and gentlemen, the next Samuel Adams, Lonzo. Salt Bae is a guy who a number of years ago got famous on the interwebs for the way that he prepared food. What got him the attention, you may recognize this picture, Lonzo. That guy, you ever seen that picture floating around on the internet?
Yeah, I just thought it was Robert Downey Jr.
No, that's Salt Bae.
All right.
Salt Bae is a chef. He's a Turkish chef who I believe now lives in the States. And he is famous, or got famous, for creating his own seasonings that go on his food, which is fine. But then he's like really weird. He's like the Yoko Ono of food. Like when he makes steaks, he like attacks it with a machete instead of it's really weird.
That actually sounds kind of cool. I mean,
it's not.
Is he accurate?
It's not. No, he just hacks away and then he's like, this is how you cut the steak. No, it's not. Stop. But then he got famous because there was a picture video of him. And he would take his seasoning and, like, sprinkle it like this. And he got famous for it. Okay?
It's radio, man. I mean, I know you got to explain what, like, this means.
He, like, put his wrist out over his elbow and, like made a swan out. I don't, whatever.
Do you remember the dance for Walk Like an Egyptian? Picture that and then sprinkle salt.
O-A-O.
Yes.
So, that's how the dude got famous. Well, Salt Bae, Lonzo, opened a restaurant. And a couple of diners this weekend went to Salt Bae's restaurant. His name is Nusret Gökçe, but it's written in Turkish, so it's got all kinds of little marks and everything. And I don't know if that's pronounced correctly at all. So, two people went into Salt Bae's brand new restaurant that he just opened. I believe it's in England, but I could be wrong. No, it is in England. So we opened up a new restaurant, and they went in, and here's what they ordered, Zoe. I'm going to actually read you their, because they posted a picture of their receipt from Salt Bae's restaurant. 1 golden tomahawk steak, 3 herb-crusted fries, 1 side of sautéed mushroom, a side of sautéed broccoli, a side of asparagus, and a mashed potato. 16 orders of Nusret baklava, 4 golden baklavas, 1 Red Bull. Somebody at the table was getting weird. 2 glasses of a specific type of wine, another glass of wine, 1 bottle of Petrus 1996, 2 bottles of Petrus 2003, and 2 bottles of 2006 Dom Perignon Rosé. All right, so about 5 bottles of wine, a handful of sides, 1 golden tomahawk steak, 3 orders of French fries, 20 orders of baklava, and a Red Bull. What was their bill? Go wild with your guess.
Well, first of all, I'm trying to figure out, should I try to correct you on the pronunciation of something?
Because baklava?
Yeah, because it's baklava.
I've never had it.
Did you watch Aladdin?
I mean, yeah, but...
But Genie sings about, how about a little more baklava?
Oh, that's right, he does. Okay, have some of column A, try all of column B. I'm in the mood to help you, dude. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Okay, so Genie confirms how you should pronounce it, I suppose.
Okay.
Baklava, I think, is fairly expensive if it's authentic.
Go wild with your guess.
I'm going to say $2,000.
Texture says, thank you, dear God, Lonzo. Did my mispronunciation of a Middle Eastern food get under your skin that much?
I will say, if you go back and watch the video, Rob, you'll see me wince every single time.
Baklava.
And it's a difficult being a producer / co-host, whatever, trying to decide, okay, do I correct here? Because maybe I'm wrong. It's possible. I'm sitting across from a haughty intellectual.
I wore my socks with like physics equations on it last night.
But then again, uncomfortable. But then again, in the back of my mind, he also says alarm. So it could be.
Ha! How much was the bill, Lonzo?
I said $2,000.
37,000.
Wow.
23 pounds.
37,000
pounds. The golden tomahawk steak.
Wait a minute. Pounds. So what's the.
Pounds to dollars conversion calculator. Let's go 37,023 pounds to dollars. $50,928 for dinner.
Okay.
So $50,000. Because he got famous on the internet.
But I'm also guessing that these are high rollers going to, you don't order that much wine if you don't have some cash, right?
Yeah. But I'm with you. Like, I would have expected this tab to work out to be, I'd have said 7, 8, maybe 10 grand because of the Dom Perignon on the back end and the two bottles of Petrus. I'm just assuming that's fancy. I don't know. I drink Busch Light out of my fridge, so what the hell do I know? 37,000, that works out to over $50,000 in dinner. Because this guy threw some salt on the internet, he's charging 50 grand for dinner now.
So they're complaining about it.
Yeah, I would too.
So are the prices not on the menu?
As my old man used to tell me, if you don't know without the price being on something that you can't afford it, you can't afford it. Right? Like, you can't afford, but if I went in and I tried to buy a pair of Chuck Taylor All-Stars, right? Because I know what a pair of Chuck Taylors costs. I know what designer Chucks cost, and I've bought them before. If I wanted to buy a pair of Chuck Taylor All-Stars and I brought them up to the front desk and there was no price on them, and they went, that'll be $6,700, please, sir. No, it will not be. 32,000 pounds, $50,000 for dinner because he got famous sprinkling salt on the internet. Do better, America.
See, I'm also like, okay, how good was the food? Was the food $50,000 good?
It was the Thackis that corrected me on the baklava. All right.
See, and he's an expert, so there you go.
He is. He texted me, he said, I'm Greek.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So he knows. But is there food out there that you would think that is worth $50,000?
No.
If you ate the food, you'd be like, I'd pay anything for this.
$50,000 if I get to, like, I was going to make a very gross joke about Katy Perry there, and I'm going to stop it. But you know where my head's going, or at least you think you should. No, there's not.
The only Katy Perry song is I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. For some reason, I don't think that applies.
Maybe you're a firework.
Oh, okay, there we go. All right, so.
I'm not trying to
overanalyze this, but with the amount of alcohol they drank, how big was this party?
Two people.
It was two
Granted,
people?
They went bananas.
It was two people.
They went bananas.
They ordered all that.
From what I understand on the internet, it was two people. Now, I'll say this.
Sounds like a setup.
Here's the thing.
So they not pay the bill? How many dishes do you got to wash to pay off $50,000 worth of?
10 to 12 years worth. I would suspect. Again, they paid it, but I think it was more along the lines of, this guy sprinkled some salt on a steak one time, and now he's charging 50 grand for dinner. Screw that. All right,
But if you could, you'd charge that much, wouldn't you?
No, because I'm not a monster.
But I think in the end, they paid it. If you paid it, why are you complaining about it? If you paid it, you could afford to pay it.
Well, if they had a choice, what else are they going to do? I honestly would just wait for the cops to come and claim it was robbery. I
go to jail.
I've had some really good steaks. I've never had a $1,000 steak. It's never happened. They don't exist. All right, and I love steak more than I love most of my family members.
They do exist. We just don't roll in those kind of circles.
All right, a couple more things I wanted to get into. Lonzo is a week deep in Far Cry 6. Yesterday I saw a review, though, that said that said that Far Cry 6 is too cynical for its own good. What's your review on the game a week in?
I will say some people are hyper-political.
Yeah.
And that's all Far Cry is.
Yeah, it's all it's ever been.
It's supposed to be over-the-top politics. Yeah. It's supposed to take every stereotype to the nth degree. That's what it does. I mean, to me, the best Far Cry, and I believe I played them all, is still the one with Father. And that's just because... Sure. It's home
five?
A little. I think it's five.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the last one.
Yeah, five.
And maybe it's because it was in America and
sure.
There's just so many things.
Which
to
is
that.
Interesting because it took. So on this one, you've got a regime that is a far left. I haven't played it yet, but from what I've seen in trailers, kind of a far left totalitarian regime. And in the last one, you had a gross exaggeration of like. The cult right wing. Yeah, the cult right wingers. So they've done back to back. And here's where I who try to play the centrist, come in. These same people writing those reviews about Far Cry 6 definitely did not write reviews about Far Cry 5 being too cynical. So I kind of find it comical. That being said, I just want a review on the game because I haven't gotten around to it
yet.
I
just want to say I could care less about reviews.
It's what a good game.
If a game looks good to me, I'm going to play it.
So what is your review?
So far, I love it. But it's like any other Far Cry game. They have a formula. The formula works. You know how the formula works? You're on 6.
Yeah.
You don't get to 6 if the formula doesn't work. It's really a...
You'll notice even Rocky stopped at 5.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so... Yeah, I like it so far. I want to see what the... All Far Cry games have an ending where you have to make a choice and go...
Oh,
I don't feel good about what I just did. And so I want to see what that ending is.
Yeah.
And I'm also looking forward to the DLC and stuff like
that. How far can Far Cry push it? Like, because the whole premise of this centers around a left-leaning dictator who is grooming his son to take over his role. Do you think they get to the point of you have to make the call to kill the kid or not? Do you think they'll go that far?
Yeah, yeah, I do.
You think they do?
I do. See, I want to spoil, but you haven't played a couple of the Far Cry games because there are some decisions, but I know you've watched some
things. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a thing at the end of Far Cry 3, I'm going to spoil, but the game's been out like 15 years.
Yeah, it's on me for not playing it now.
Where you can choose to stay with these people who
this is the island one.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I've watched the end of it, yeah.
And kill your friends and family and stay with them. So, of course, you're going to...
Yeah.
But someone didn't.
Yeah.
Someone said...
Screw
forget
it.
Them.
Let's get
this
weird.
Girl's hot. I'm staying with her. And that's really what it comes down
to. Yeah, but
there's a consequence. There is no good way to end these games, but that's just how they are.
Texas says, Lonzo, are you on Twitch? Far Cry 6 is a great game. We really need to set up a Twitch channel.
See, I've been talking about that. I've been thinking about that, but the time that it consumes to make sure that you have enough in there, and we have the capabilities to even do it from the office if we wanted to, and I have... another Xbox One, which I'm going to bring in, which means we could actually do it from the Xbox One.
We need to set up a Twitch if you guys would watch it. Texas says, I'm enjoying Far Cry. It's your stereotypical communist socialist dictator killing his people. I also really enjoyed Far Cry 5. Yeah, that's my thing. Like, you went from extreme right-wing cultist out in the woods in Montana to extreme left-wing dictatorship.
The ending is so much worse.
Yeah,
because
true story.
Of how you end up at the end of the game. It's just like, what?
Yeah. Texas says, I never understood in my 20-plus year career as a chef why when I made the special more expensive, they bought it when I priced it at a 20% food cost. I worked in restaurants for a long time.
It's people who think, well, it's expensive, that makes it better, and that's not always the case.
Yeah, and also it's people who went, oh, it's a celebrity chef, right? Like, I would probably pay a little bit more than I would pay for a regular dinner to go to Gordon Ramsay's restaurant and have Gordon Ramsay cook my food. You know what I mean? Like, there's some
especially
element of that.
Especially if he come out and yelled at you for not eating it right.
It's blanking raw! God, I love that show. I love MasterChef. No, Hell's Kitchen. Hell's Kitchen. I love Hell's Kitchen. All right, what else? Oh, so I started the Avengers game. I'm like four missions in so far. I have just found Tony Stark, who obviously, if you haven't played the game, I won't give too much away, but effectively, there's a situation that happens that resets the Avengers down to nothing. They are spread out. They're all in different places. They are hiding from the public eye, etc. I have found, Lonzo, that there's always one of two characters I end up preferring. With games like Skyrim that are more fantasy fiction, I'm always a stealth archer, right? I'm always the guy that sneaks around and kills people from a distance. And whenever there's a comic book game, a video game, a superhero game, I always end up playing the tank. So far, I've gotten to play as Ms. Marvel. I've gotten to play as the Hulk. I've gotten to play as Iron Man. I've got, now you do the tutorial where you also play as Cap for a short time. You play as Black Widow for a short time. You play as Thor for a short time. I think I'm just going to be a tank. Hulk and Thor are just fun to play when there's no, for me, it's like with Widow and Cap, you kind of have to be strategic about where you end up in the room versus where the bad guys are in the room and what tools you have of it. With Hulk and Thor, it's just smash and bolt everybody. And it's a blast. I love it. But I'm having a good time.
I've spent my life as a tank. Everything I do is as a tank. Even bowling, I'm a tank at bowling. By the way, you and Diesel are magic users at bowling. That's what I was just thinking.
That's what
about.
It is.
Yeah, I'm a tank. You guys
depleted the mana last night.
You did. So I agree with you. Thor is my favorite, though. You know why? You don't have to jump.
You can fly.
Yeah, right.
So that's what made me love Iron Man, was just being able to zip around the map.
But you can fly with Thor, and you're still a tank.
Yeah.
So with you can mistime your jumps with Hulk. Even though it's fun to smash things, you can still mistime your jumps.
Texture says, I thought the Avengers game was like a Mortal Kombat-style game. Also, can we get a weekly video game review on Friday? That's kind of what this segment is. If you guys have a game you want us to review, send it in, and Zoe and I will put it on the list. And also send us the $60 to buy it because we're poor.
Or just pick games on Game Pass.
The event. So I know that like Marvel versus Capcom has been a thing where it is a Mortal Kombat-style game, but this is more of a, it's not really open map. At least I've found so far, it's relatively linear.
It's more like playing the game that you play all the time.
Yeah,
there are maps, and you take certain
characters.
You go
start to finish.
And there are objectives that you have to do, and there are also secrets you can find and things like that.
Let's see. Todd, Michigan J. Todd says, people that spend money just to impress others have more dollars than cents. Correct. All right, let's take a break. One more segment, and then Twitter trending topics to wrap up our Friday on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. So I'm going to do over the weekend, probably on Sunday, I'm going to do a Facebook Live that I'm actually going to invite you guys to participate in because I have a question for you that I want an answer from folks that are from the South. All right. You Yankees, you guys are already in the club. You guys are going to want to hear the answer more than you're going to want to give yours to folks in the South. What do I have to say or do? What can be said or done to make hockey more popular in the South? Is it possible? Here's why I ask. AEW got moved out of its regular time slot, and a hockey game went there, which is going to happen a handful of times this year. The lowest rated, Lonzo, I think you'll appreciate this, the lowest rated AEW show of the past month and a half had about 250,000 more viewers than one of the first NHL games of the year on the same channel. That's a big number to go from a major American league sport versus a professional wrestling show. Single show, not a pay-per-view, just a regular cable weeknight show.
Also pretty sad for certain people who don't get wrestling.
Yeah.
Because they'll never grasp why.
Right. So my, if you're a hockey fan who doesn't like wrestling, you're listening to this like, oh my God, our sport is over. I'll tell you honestly, it's not the end of the world because AEW is turning pretty good numbers in that slot. For what I think it's been the number one show in that slot like three or four of the last 6 or 8 weeks.
We could go into what it's up against, but that doesn't matter.
Right, it's irrelevant. Yeah. It's the number one show in that slot. If somebody was going to put something, anyway, blah, blah, blah. It outranked hockey by a statistically relevant margin in that spot. So over the weekend, I'm going to ask you guys the question. I'm going to do either a Facebook Live or a Periscope because this is a conversation I actually want to have that involves you guys on more than just a send me a quick funny text joke, which, by the way, I love quick funny text jokes. So all of you that have sent them in, thank you very much. Texter says ESPN, please do Twitch. Another text says ESPN, I said that about Twitch over a year ago. That's from Tim. Texter says, as grown men, how do you have that much time to play that much video games? Because that's what I want to do, and I'm a grown-ass man.
What does grown man have to do? That's one of those people. I mean, you know.
Because I'm a grown-ass man, and I do what I want to do without other people dictating to me what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I have fun doing it.
Do you go hunting? Do you go fishing?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Do you crochet? I mean, that's on you. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't know how you would have time to crochet if you are a grown man, but I mean, maybe you do.
Yeah. As a grown man, how do I have that much time? I make it because it's what I want to do. I also have friends and I go to multiple sports games events per week. If you like doing something, you will make time for it.
I don't get that frame of mind. I never will understand that frame of mind. And what it is, it's looking down and belittling somebody else because you don't get what they're doing.
I almost kind of see it the other way. I almost kind of see it as jealousy, right? Like, I've got friends of mine who are like, dude, how do you go to so many sports events? Don't you have other better stuff to do? And I'm like, I'm sorry that you have, you know, whatever you have in your life that prevents you from doing the things that I do, because my life is awesome. Because it is. My life's awesome. I do stuff all the time. I go to 2-3 games a week. I go drink bourbon at my bar whenever I want. I don't have to answer anybody. If I'm bored, I sit on my couch in boxers and play video games. If I was you, I'd want to be me too. Thank you, Megan Trainor. You nailed it. She gets it. All right, so I asked a question, and we're going to talk about this over the weekend. Texter says, demographics, bro. College football isn't as popular in the Northeast as it is here. Same concept for hockey. It's probably more popular more in Minnesota than it is here.
I don't get that because I'm from Columbus, Ohio, and I can tell you that college football is pretty popular.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think the South views a monopoly on college football, which I understand. I think the passion is there. But have you watched Minnesota Stadium? Minnesota will pack that thing out every now and then, right? Ohio.
Yeah,
hell, Michigan puts 110,000 in when they're playing FCS teams, right? You don't have a monopoly on it. So I'm asking, but I understand. I get it. The whole premise of the question is the demographics here don't match up for hockey. I've always said to love a sport, you got to have experience with the sport, which is why every year, and I'm going to do it again this year. Every couple of weeks, I'm going to give away tickets to come watch a Swamp Rabbit game with me. You're going to get to sit with me at a Rabbits game to watch a game. My question was not, why isn't hockey popular? I know why it's not. I get why it's not. I've talked about why it's not. My question is not, why isn't hockey popular? My question is, what could I do? What could we do as hockey fans? What could the Swamp Rabbits, what could the Carolina Hurricanes do to make hockey more popular, to make hockey something you go, all right, I'm going to give it a shot, to get hockey on your radar to where you would tune into NHL games. Not just go to Rabbits games, but tune into NHL games. I'm going to ask that question on a Facebook Live on Sunday night, so make sure you're tuned into that at facebook.com/ESPN Upstate. Texter says, Rob, you got to get married and have kids so your life will be more boring. No, you got to get married to a good woman so that you can still do the things you want to do. Right, Lonzo?
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Quick break. We wrap it all up with Twitter trending topics next on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
All right, time for Twitter trending topics, the last ones of this week. The first thing trending is your tribal chief.
Roman Reigns said earlier today, and what I... Again, this is the fun part. The best part's wrestling when you can't tell if it's a work or a shoot, brother.
He said a lot,
but the two things that people are tweeting about, he said that he believes AEW has a ceiling, and that ceiling is being approached, and he said that he does not view AEW as competition for WWE, but also keep in mind, Roman Reigns is the heel. And
some would say he is
the
WWE
show, yeah,
right now.
Absolutely. He is absolutely the face right now, so... if it's a shoot, interesting. If it's a work, Roman's really good as his job. Gosh, if only Vince would have listened to me like 4 years ago. End of take.
It's never Vince was right, which he was all along. And I'm not
about,
a Vince.
About what?
He was right.
He was wrong on Roman. He tried to push Roman as a face for years.
He picked his guy to be the head, and he got there, and people absolutely hated him. Now they love him, and they love to hate him. But the other thing is, he just totally destroyed CM Punk.
Did he?
Yes,
he
did.
I haven't seen that yet.
200 pounds soaking wet, embarrassed us all in UFC.
Oh, that's why.
Yes.
He took the Lonzo approach.
That's right, which is the approach.
Put Roman's ass in the octagon. Let's see it then, big dog.
He's not.
And remember, I'm a Roman stan. He's from my hometown. He's Pensacola's finest. I'm a Roman guy, but hop in the octagon before you start running flat, big dog.
The other thing real quick, Bray Wyatt has been trending.
Because Tony Khan said that he is interested in talking to Bray Wyatt about bringing him to AEW.
He's also trending because it's out there why he got let go.
Oh, is it air appropriate? I'm curious.
We don't have enough time to talk about it. It was a combination of things, being too fat, disagreeing with storylines and things
which
like that.
Which is correct. Which is correct.
Well, we don't know how outrageous he really wanted to go. He may have wanted to go too far. It is Bray Wyatt.
Fair enough. All right, that's it for the show. Join me live Sunday evening. We're going to do a Facebook Live at facebook.com/ESPNUpstate to talk hacky as we are a week away from tip-off for the Swamp Rabbits. Mark Ryan and Dee Slorp words are hard, made it all the way through the show, are up next with Offsides. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you back here on Monday. So will Lonzo. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. This was the Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate. Later, brother.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.